Got it. Here we go. Even though there's a guy that wrote to us the other day that told us, get rid of the teeny tiny lady. It's stupid.
How dare you?
It diminishes the show, apparently.
Cuts it down to her size.
And they, I don't know what the guy just said. It's inane. Can you open the doors, please, Sean? Here they are. Just a teeny. Bring the microphone in just a little closer. I think we can hear because she's signaling. Bring the mic in. Here we go. Oh, listen in. There she is. Hold on. There she is. All right, I got
you. This is like my favorite lunch spot.
Oh, you can't gobble it up just like that.
Whoa, like that is not, you know, part of a lettuce.
I mean, you should imagine what would happen if you have a temper tantrum.
Gagging, like puking, and I just like could not believe that there was a lizard in my salad.
There must be some mistake.
Shocking, that's right.
Horrible, terrifying, disgusting.
Allegedly. All right. That's the lizard lady being brought in with the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. I hope she doesn't accidentally eat her. I think we'd really be in trouble. Or the one listener would be happy to have the teeny tiny lady be gone.
I pulled up that old letter. Undermines the show and sounds insane. No significance to your listeners.
Okay. Undermining
just
the show.
Hasn't listened to enough.
Undermining. Oh, my God. All right. Let's see. We got to get to the fact that I'm going to have to, like Kitty Carlisle, let's go way back. What's my line? Mm-hmm. I have to right now confess that I have not watched 1 second of the Olympics, other than being at the airport the other day. And I saw, I think it was the thing that they do, the kayaking in the water, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I watched a little bit of the Ironman thing that they had. And then it was like 85 degrees, relative humidity, 63%. They kept talking about how to cool off. But just glancing, going by, I have no idea. And how are we doing in the medal count or anything else? Are you fixated in watching every second of a time on your extended?
Absolutely not. No, what I do is whenever I'm in the house, I turn on the TV and I check on them. And then I leave the TV on as I go about my regular business and kind of pop in. So I catch it as catch can. And there have been a lot of interesting things happening. In terms of the medal count, we are, I think, one gold behind Japan. So Japan's number one, then us. So, you know, we're doing all right. There are some interesting aspects. Like I did catch the second half of the USA, you know, men's basketball team. We lost to France, which is quite, I mean, we had this 7-point lead and we lost at the end. One of the nice things is Zach LaVine, who's a kid from Renton, went to Bothell High. He's now I think he's an NBA star. I wouldn't call him a superstar. He's on the team. He hit the last 3-point shot to put us ahead by 7 with 3 minutes left, and we ended up losing the game. We missed 9 rest of our shots. But let's hear it for Bothell's Zach LaVine. And then it's great fun. Matisse Thybulle, who I know you know intimately. In fact, you taught him how to play the game, Tom.
Taught him how to play the game.
He's a former Husky star and is on the Philadelphia 76ers as a defensive specialist. Well, he has dual citizenship. Maybe you knew this. I certainly didn't. Yep. He has dual citizenship with Australia. He lived in Australia from the year age 2 to 9. So he was invited to play with the Australian team. They have 2 other NBA players and they've done quite well. In fact, they were one of the 2 teams that knocked off America, United States, in the kind of the preliminary rounds before anything started counting. So, he's a defensive specialist, but because he's now playing with Australia, he gets to show out that he has some offensive skills as well. So that's been kind of fun from a local point of view.
Yeah, when he plays for the Sixers, he just sort of moves over to the left side, waits. As soon as they give the ball to him, he immediately passes it back. Doesn't take many shots, but defensively, I think he's going to be in Defensive Player of the Year because that's what he was. Yeah. That's what he's always been. He has freakishly long arms and unbelievably fast reflexes, and he has been perfected these moves to interrupt these passes and to be able to steal the ball, and he's been doing that since he was, Southeast 24th Street, where I taught him everything there is to know about basketball.
And why don't you explain for people that maybe are not familiar with the teeny tiny lady's history and yours with Matisse, how did that come about?
He lived across the street. Elizabeth, his blessed mother, who passed from breast cancer a number of years ago, and Mr. T, that's the name they call him, Mr. T, and Chloe, that's his sister, and Matisse lived right across the street. And Mr. T was like the greatest guy in the neighborhood, and everybody loved him, and he loved all these kids. And one day, I thought, I'm going to go on Craigslist, and I got a basketball hoop that you put the water in, and then you can jack it up to 10 feet, or you can like move it down or whatever. And he came over one day, Matisse said he was like 7 or 8 years old, and he said, nine, he said, hey, or seven, he said, can I play basketball here, Mr. Curley? I said, sure. Rye wants to play with you. So then Charlie and Rye and Chloe and Matisse would all be out there. And then the other kids got tired of it. Matisse kept playing there at the hoop. And that was sort of the beginning. So when I saw him one day on the bench with UW right before the game, I walked by. I said, Matisse, who taught you how to play basketball? And he said, you did, Mr. Curley. And the shock on the look of the players, because what does that guy know about basketball? I didn't know how to get myself a basketball hoop on Craigslist for $86. So the fact that he was in Australia for a while and he's playing for that team, good for him. I would assume that his sister Chloe, who is as much of an athlete as he is, strong, beautiful, tall. I think she's like 6'2". I know she plays volleyball. I don't know if she's still playing or not. But yeah. That family is just a dynamo when it comes to not only basketball, but just really, really good people. Elizabeth raised great kids. So anyway, sad to see her go. By the way, a lot of people are blaming Coach Pop for the fact that the U.S. team lost. They say he doesn't know what he's doing, and having to juggle all of the egos of these players, that he's not doing a good job. He's running basically the offense that doesn't work. When I had a chance, name dropper, talked to Coach K a couple years ago, how hard is it to coach the Olympics? He said the hardest part is all of the egos, and making sure all of the players feel respected, because they can take it out on you on the court if they don't think that you're understanding who they are and what they bring. So it's all of that sort of dynamics. Because when you have LeBron James and you have the others that were on the court and they're normally rivals, and there they are playing for the United States, it was a different story.
To me, the key is the reason we're not playing well together is because we haven't played well together. Three of the players that just joined the team 24 hours before were playing in the NBA playoffs, the championship round. So we just haven't gelled as a team. And that was what the star of the French team said. Individually, they're all better than all of us. But as a team, we're a better team, and that's what happened.
C'est mieux. American team.
So the one thing I have, and again, this is quite by happenstance. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe because they play it late. I've caught both the men's and the women's street skateboarding competition night after night. And the amazing thing about last night, the American who was a big favorite, Najib Houston.
Yeah, that's fine, sport to talk about on the radio. Go ahead, Tom.
No, but this is going to, there's a payoff for people that don't care about sports. Yes. I watched this competition.
Yes.
The winner and silver medalist, so the gold and silver medalist who won the first women's street skateboarding event, were 13 years old.
Mom, change the station.
Sorry, we just lost the 11-year-olds, Tom. No, I think we have sound on the skateboarding, the 13-year-old?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Here we go. Yes. This is, I never pronounce her name.
Will it be Mobiji or it'll be Funa? Well, she certainly put an exclamation point on that. Already in the lead, Mobiji with a 14.74 has just distanced herself at 13 years of age.
Her lowest score that she's trying to get rid of is the 2.91 from her second run. That's going to be gone, because what you saw there was a lip slide on a totally different part of the course. She launched out of that wedge over the flat bar to the eighth stair, took a huge risk, and made it.
Oh, I mean, that's it for me. I got chills. I got
a 13-year-old from Japan, and then a 13-year-old from Brazil were 1 and 2, and then the 16-year-old came in third. And the American, it was great. The American, she was in first place for a while, Lisa Stone or something like that. Mm-hmm. First place about halfway through the competition. She ended up coming in, I think, fourth or fifth. She's 36 years old. She was laughing. She says, I went up and introduced myself to the mother of one of the 13-year-olds, and I realized I was older than my competition's mother.
Yeah, I believe it.
And they say, And what's great about these days is it's generational, and clearly the 36-year-old was on. She says no girls were even allowed practically back in the day when she started out. She's kind of this a rough rider. She says now it's so great to see this younger generation, even though they bested her at the first Olympics, that she feels like the sport is in good hands because now 13-year-old girls don't think a second of, well, of course I can skate like the boys.
Yeah, it's funny when you tune into that type of event, because you almost feel like you've walked into a room where people are speaking a language you have no idea, but you feel like you should be enthusiastic. They're like, he's got to put a front side down on this. He's got to go goofy foot on the grind because the 50-50 grind, he's not going to make that nose grind because that will not turn for him. If he wants to do a flip kick at the end or maybe a McTwist, that's the only way he's going to be able to pull out of it. And then you turn to your friend and go, I think he's right.
You know, a lip slide. She launched out of that wedge over the flat bar to the eighth stair.
And she nollies off the nose slide and takes the rail side down on the regular foot, which is like, I mean, unheard of, right?
The thing is like triple salchow. Who the hell knows what that is? But we've watched ice skating for years. We'll eventually learn, this lingo, too.
Wait, is this just one of these temporary things that are letting them do it one year and then never doing it again? They'd try to bring those sports in there. Chair wrestling or Bic lighter lighting and that kind of stuff.
I think it has to be approved each Olympics, but the launch here, the reason they're doing this is they realize that the audience for Olympics is aging. They want to get the young, and that's how the whole X Games, were invented, because they were sort of outside the establishment of the Olympics. In fact, that 36-year-old was saying, yeah, at first when the Olympics came on, she says, that's too establishment. The whole, skateboarding scene is to be rebels and anti this kind of official institutionalized recognition. But she says, no, this is too good a chance to pass up, and she hopes this will launch the sport.
Still doing ballroom dancing? Because I'll tell you something, nothing brings the kids in like ballroom dancing. Are they still doing that? I think they are. Ballroom dancing, Olympic sports. Yeah, I'm looking to see if they're still offering that kind of move. Yeah. Well, listen, anyway. That's Tom's take on the Olympics.
Yeah.
And again,
stay tuned.
I like the fact that you leave the TV on, Tom. That says a lot about you and your concern for global warming.
Well, that way, though, if there's something big, I can always rewind it. See, if I just turn it off, unless I record the whole thing. So
well,
I just
you can.
Leave it
you
on.
Can with your Xfinity. By the way, should they spend $20,000 on garbage cans? That's the question in San Francisco.
Trash goes in, but much too often comes out.
They go looking for drugs. They go looking for things to recycle. And they bust.
By the way, this is a new Olympic sport.
Them open and they'll pull things out, and sometimes they get too full.
Sleeker design bins with sensors alerting crews when they're almost full will be more tamper resistant, block rodents out, and keep sidewalks cleaner.
$20,000 a can is, ridiculous.
It's insane.
The costly cans even have designer names. Finalists 1, the Salt and Pepper. 2, the Slim Silhouette. And 3, the Soft Square, all featuring rollout liners or toters that can be mechanically lifted instead of manually taken out.
Why are we still doing this rather than putting out a bunch of different types of cans that already are produced that are much cheaper?
The Department of Public Works installed 3,000 of the green cans in the 90s. Even they admit the $20,000 price tag is expensive for a prototype, but promise the cost will go down once it's mass-produced.
Is San Francisco going to have the best trash cans in the world?
Absolutely. Yeah. San Francisco, that's the goal I have. And I want us, and to be frankly, the model for other cities, Portland, New York, Sydney, wherever it is across the world, to come and to take our cans or to try and model their cans after ours.
Because those other cities just doing some serious trash talk against San Francisco. Since San Francisco's got all the money in the world, their crime rate is up, their homelessness. And have you been there recently, Tom? It is really,
really
maybe 7 sad.
Years ago
My God, is it sad. By the way, I just heard in the news, Barbara Boxer got mugged? Is that what that was?
That was the top of the news. Right in some place I recognized, I think, like a tourist place, big square, Market Square or something. So the weird thing, the only thing about this, I know why TV did it, and it's an easy, it's like clickbait kind of story. But the prototype is, prototypes are expensive because it's like it's a first time model and they have to work things out. So that's not it's not like they're going to buy $320,000 cans. But also, it's all designed. If you look at them, I watched the TV version of it. That it's like it's got all this electronic stuff in it. I mean, it's supposedly dealing with the trash in such a way that it won't be as overflow and all that. So there are some tricks to it. I think my hunch is technologically that is where we'll probably be in, maybe 20 years and we'll laugh, say, look at how weird everybody thought this was at the time. Mm-hmm. But it is expensive because it's the first time. And so it seems
they need the bear cans, the ones that keep the bears out. They have those here in Free Elm and that's what you want.
So what do they look
inside,
like?
You can't get inside the thing. You put your hand in and it chops your hand off.
Well, how do you deposit the garbage?
Carefully. Very carefully. you just learned it.
I wish you have an active ER in Free Elm, John.
I got to tell you, my back of my car is filling up with garbage, and it smells so bad because I can't burn it anymore. There's a burn ban in place. So I'm going to go out tonight and try to find an innocent garbage can to dump my stuff into.
So I don't understand. You live in, is it Kittitas County? Don't you have county garbage service?
On the main road, Tom, but not out where I am. We don't have it. They don't even have a paved road. It's all cinder and dirt. And then when you go by Doug's place, faster than 10 miles an hour, screams at you. It's terrible.
There must be a community service somehow. Or a dump. Go take it. Is there a Free Elm
dump?
Is
a dump. There is a transfer station, but I don't want to pay.
Transfer
station. You got to go in there, and then you got to... They look at you and judge you. Better off in the darkness, the cover of night.
Criminal.
Peel your name off the Amazon box and get the hell out of there. There's your Olympic sport. All right, Tracy Taylor, how are we looking? Here we go, Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. You know, they've been around for 51 years. Huh. Think about it. Let's count them out loud. John, why don't you start?
One.
Two.
Yeah. Three.
We're sharing it. They've got 16 locations. Bucky's, we'll rehearse that better next time. And they've got 16 locations. They'll be just a better job. Thank you, Sean, for being a team player.
Seven.
Anybody else want to get in there with Sean?
We're not doing them in order now, so just I guess 13.
Just yelling out at random numbers.
33. Yeah.
There
okay.
we go.
Okay, I'm over
and 51. All right. COVID-19 surge prompts schools to reconsider the mask dance. This is the mask rule for fall. Is this all over in the United States, or is this just local?
No, it's all over. At least the article is all about how different schools. I think Chicago, New Orleans just switched. Atlanta. There's some big cities that are opening sooner than Seattle that have big surges and low vaccination rates, and so now they are reconsidering whether they're going to do it or not. Seattle also apparently is recommending masks based on this order I just read.
Here's Fauci.
This is under active consideration. If you're asking, am I part of the discussion? Yes, I am part of the discussion. But I think what you are seeing, even though as of our conversation at this moment, the CDC still says and recommends that if you are vaccinated fully, that you do not need to wear a mask indoors. However, if you look at what's going on locally in the trenches in places like LA County, the local officials have the discretion, and the CDC agrees with that ability and discretion capability to say, you're in a situation where we're having a lot of dynamics of infection, so even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. That's a local decision that's not incompatible with the CDC's overall recommendations that give a lot of discretion to the locals. And we're seeing that in LA, we're seeing it in Chicago, we're seeing that in New Orleans, because the officials there, many of them are saying, even if you're vaccinated, it's prudent to wear a mask indoors. So that's a local decision.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear a mask everywhere, indoor and outdoor, and I'm going to have a box of rubber gloves, because that'll help as well. And then I'm going to get a suit
work
that I can
Bucky's.
Zipper up. I can get a or at Bucky's. I can work at Bucky's part time. And then I'm going to get a suit, like a Tyvek suit that I can zip up and I can take it off and get a new one. I'll buy a case of 50 of them, and I will be safe, as safe as I can possibly be. I'm still thinking a Bell diving helmet. That would be safe as well, or something else, maybe a welding helmet. I want to be as safe as possible. So I will, sort of put aside my comfort so that I know that I'll be safe from this thing, Tom. So next time you see me, you feel free to knock on the old Bell helmet, and I'll turn and then open the little thing, the little hatch, so I can see you, because I want to make sure that I'm safe.
If only I could believe you. So, yeah, let's talk about the school. There are so many dimensions of this, but let's talk about the school issue.
Yes.
What I'm not clear on is, first off, what is it that we are afraid of? And this is what I have been very, if the authorities, tell me I should wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. I don't have a problem with that. It's not, to me, a big freedom issue. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to understand. So right now, kids, and let's take the under 12 set. It gets a little more complicated for the high school kids, but the 12 and under, there is no vaccine, so they can't take a vaccine. So they are all, by definition, unvaccinated.
Yes.
Now, the question is, are we trying to prevent them from getting COVID at all? Or is it because COVID is so, the Delta variant is so transmissible that somehow the impact on kids is going to be worse than it has been? I don't think so.
No.
The impact on kids has always been minimal. It's always hit adults harder than kids. So I'm not quite sure what is it, if it turns out that COVID for kids is really no different than, say,
oh, I can't stand that commercial.
The measles for kids commercial. Or I don't know what you're talking about. The point I'm just saying is that if it is just like another childhood disease that kids get and they get over it, it's like it's like the flu. I don't know why, like the American Pediatrics Association. I mean, these are doctors of children.
Yes.
That they say they recommend wearing masks is if it's to protect the kids. If it's no more dangerous than the flu. I understand before we had vaccines. I get it, because we didn't know how potent it could be. But now that we have vaccines, even though the kids aren't taking it, the kids never were hit that hard. So it would only be the adults. I wouldn't have a problem, for instance, if the adults that work in a school wear masks to protect other adults or something. But
we've been told that you get vaccinated.
Well, yes, they should get vaccinated. Do they have to get vaccinated? That's what I'm not sure. School teachers don't have to. I think they've just announced people working in health department, like the feds in the health division of government, they have to, and hospitals are starting to require. But I don't know that it's been required in schools. I think you have to take a COVID test once a week if you don't want to get vaccinated or something.
I saw in New York City, of the 130,000 people that live off the hardbacks of the taxpayers there in New York City, I think only 45% of various workers that are there are vaccinated or unvaccinated. 45% on average are unvaccinated, right? So. And the thing is the teachers in school, we know that the kids get the flu. We know more kids die of the flu than die of this. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything about that. We don't close. Maybe every once in a while it gets really, really bad. They close the schools down because that flu kills kids. This thing doesn't. But let's put a mask on them. The World Health Organization said you don't need to mask a kid under 12. The CDC is saying, no, mask them. The idea of people putting masks back on again is to stop the cheaters, because that's what's happened. Just like you and I talked about, Tom. If you see the sign on the door, you don't have to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated. Welcome back. And people open the door and go on in. It's like, are you vaccinated? Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you mean by vaccinated? Right? So what this is let's get away from that. Let's make sure everybody has to wear the mask again. We'll catch the cheaters. So we'll trust no one.
Yeah.
And we will continue to scare everybody that the Delta's virus, the cases are up. Yes. Deaths are not. Right.
Yeah.
Hospitalization, not up. The Delta virus is, they say, maybe 1,000 times or 100 times or 500 times more transmittable.
It has 1,000 times more viral load.
Right. Yeah. And you could get the symptoms of a cold.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that hospitalizations are definitely up in some arenas, but not overall nationally. But John, if they just explained that, for instance, if they just said, okay, if you really are vaccinated, you don't need a mask. But because we still have a high enough percentage, and there are some cities and states, they just had the Mississippi or Alabama governor just say, I don't know what more to do. It's ridiculous. I'm going to start blaming the unvaccinated. If you have like really low percentage, like 30 and under percent that are vaccinated, maybe that changed the dynamic. But if they tell me, okay, Tom, you're vaccinated, you're pretty safe. But if everybody wears a mask, then the people that are unvaccinated will wear a mask, and that will protect them and society in general. I'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, but I haven't heard that. It's great. It's great. It is great. And you will be able to stop all sorts of viruses. I think masks all the time, gloves all the time, and everybody walk around in disposable, sort of Tyvek, different sort of things that you could just throw away or burn or something to really stop down the transmission of all sorts of viruses. Why just stop with COVID? Let's get rid of the cold.
Because COVID, we don't know enough about COVID long-term.
We know plenty of COVID. We know plenty about COVID.
We don't know about long-term. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that. For another year?
Yeah, five years.
Is part of the experiment.
And then let's close down restaurants again by 50%. Let's get rid of, and let's go back to 6-foot distancing and more plexiglass. Why not, Tom? You don't think it's going to surge in the fall and they'll panic again and throw 30 million people out of work?
Well, the thing
it worked so well the last time.
Oh, if people like you, John, would only get vaccinated, we wouldn't have to worry about this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you got vaccinated, but apparently yours isn't good enough now. So now you need everybody else to be vaccinated.
Yes, everybody needs to get vaccinated.
Why? What about your magic shield, thanks to Donald Trump? Why doesn't your magic shield work?
It does work, but it doesn't work for society if there are too many people like you and not enough people like me. And that's what I've always said. The heart of the Tom and Curly Show is more people should be like Tom and fewer people should be like Curly.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Tracy's only got traffic for us. Here we go. All right. Show's almost over this hour.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. Give me a little bit of Mailman song there, just as much as you can enjoy there, Sean. Yeah, let's hear
it. Play the radio.
Hit it!
I'm the mailman.
Yeah! All right, teeny tiny lady wasn't ready for that, so we'll just pass on that, and we'll get to the letter of the day in just a little bit, but first time, all the rest. Here we go.
So we started off with a video of a man who was improperly identified as somebody in a posted video, and then we went after the person who took the video. Area code 425 says, I hope this man is billing for the hours he spent flagging all those bogus Yelp reviews.
253, why does he keep calling it flicking? Flicking? Who?
He was saying flicking instead of flipping someone off, and that was apparently distracting.
There you go.
Here we are. Thank you.
Christopher in Redmond. Personally, Dillard is the worst kind of hypocrite. He justifies the false identification by listing black people who were misidentified. One he mentions is Trayvon Martin, which is not a case of mistaken identification. Mm-hmm. It's just a poor argument to justify a bad action in response to another bad action.
What kind of human are you?
That's what you have to ask yourself. Lizard salad, 253. Tom, she found a lizard in her salad, and she wasn't laughing. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. It's
not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Nick from Orcas. Maybe the lizard lady loves the salads of the restaurant but hates the lines. It's just an easy way to capitalize on the situation. I'm sure she doesn't have to wait so long for her next salad.
Brilliant. Tom of 253 says, I'm surprised she didn't call Jesse Jones.
That's right. And area code 253, John.
Yes.
I don't know why she's so upset. I've had gator, and it's just a big version of a lizard.
Yeah.
Gator tastes like chicken.
That's right. Olympics, Russ, formerly from Renton, currently in Las Vegas. Oh, gosh. Guys, I was watching the men skateboarding the other day and noticed they were basically wearing street clothes, which I can accept before the winter sport of curling. But no guy biffed it. One guy biffed it with a cell phone, fell out of his pocket, at which point I started yelling at the TV and everyone in the room, my spouse and my dog. I was yelling something to the effect that you can't have a sport where you can have a cell phone in your pocket, and I stand by that position. The fact that I'm older than 30 and 40 and 50 has nothing to do with it. That's right. It's not a sport.
Yeah. They looked very relaxed, those 13-year-olds. Area code 253. A little birdie told me next Olympic event, will be auctioneer. Your time to shine has finally come, Curly. No longer will you bring shame to the family name.
No, finally, 360 Tom. What are the lawn bowling scores your demographic wants to know? That's good.
Because we're aristocratic and
elite.
Lawn care, area code 253. John, the seeds you got, they weren't the Amazon special that came from China, were they?
No, remember those things? 253 says, those cul-de-sac people, they are the worst. What were their creepy green lawns bragging about? Having a lawnmower, a job, and a wife? They think they're so fancy. Sickening, respectful, gravel-roaded El Camino on cinder blocks in the front yard guy. P.S. I don't mow my lawn, in case you're wondering. Well, thank you there, Mr. 253.
And Trekker Robert in Puyallup told you, John, six-pack of beer, set of snap-on wrenches, and a quart of oil. Can't go wrong with that.
I know. It's still so stupid. Homemade gift. What was I thinking? Weekend gun violence. Dave in the Gig Harbor says, it's liberal policies that enable people with guns. Wake up, Tom. I think you're awake most of the show.
Steve at Northgate. Hannah, good observation. When we are young, it's harder to deal calmly with emotional highs and lows. Thanks, Cairo, for putting some light on the subject.
Yeah, and 206 says, our young men rely on guns to solve their problems because of the zero tolerance for fighting in our society. When you get punched in the nose by another 11-year-old boy, you learn that it hurts, and maybe the next time something like that comes up, the kids figure out how to avoid the conflict and the lack of conflict resolution, learning at a young age that creates these problems.
Area code 253. 100% gang and drug problem. It's not gun violence, it's gang violence. Come on, you think the SPD leadership is going to say gangs? No, it's not PC.
That's right. Protect everybody. 206, I live in a low-income apartment building the First Avenue. I count my blessings every day because I came out of homelessness in the apartment after 2.5 years. I love the apartment. I love Beltane. But in the 2 years here, this is the fourth time I've heard numerous gunshots. Yep.
The know-it-all quiz winner, Michael in the 206. Hey, Tom and Mr. Curly, it's Michael, the dead rat and the blower motor guy.
Just
wanted to say thank you so much for the amazing seeds of the Mariners game.
Oh.
I got to meet Tarek, the board op from Cairo Knights, and it was a blast taking to the two of them. I took my friend Dallas and her, and I had such a great time. I would love to send my thanks and gratitude to everyone at the Cairo station.
I'm
so let's hear it for a Cairo prize pack.
I give you my word as a Biden.
That's going to be a good one. And John's garage, Kip in Lake Bay.
Garbage.
John, I haul my own garbage here to rural Pierce County. We can dump separate recyclables for free, your favorite price. I only pay to dump actual garbage. Well, that's good to know. Well, thank you for that little update there. Teeny Tiny? Teeny? Teeny, is she there? Jacob?
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
And
not a
now
joke.
It is time for the letter. The day.
Here we go.
Comes from Andy on the road less traveled.
Oh, good.
It's been a while. Hi ho, fellerinis, and happy friggin' Monday to you.
Yep.
Long time no talk, eh?
I know.
Well, it seems there was a reason for that, fellas. Unbeknown to many, your pal Andy was placed in the NPR Witless Protection Program.
Oh, no.
A grueling stretch it was. But never fear, after hours of deprogramming by Ira Glass and dozens of episodes of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I'm back and feeling pretty good about myself.
Woo!
And sure, I've missed Tom's sage and reasoned thoughts and John's yelling at Hannah Scott.
Thank you.
But what have I really missed?
Yes.
Tracy Taylor. T. Taylor?
T. Taylor?
You're the best, and these guys are nothing without you.
True.
That's it, fellas. Have a great week, and go Bo Sox.
Yes! Thank you. Good. You're glad you're still out there. Andy's back. He left NPR behind. Good for
you. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Come
on back.
And a gift for Tracy.
Yes. The best. T. Taylor.
My front door.